Well, good morning, Benson Grove.
Good morning.
Good to see you again today. Appreciate you being with us. Brother Billy just called me a moment ago before I came in. Said Sister Regina won't do him real good this morning, so he's running a little bit late. So said he'd be here in a little if everything went well. But he did ask me if I would. He had been in touch with Denise's family, and she is in a lot of pain this morning, and said that if you would, please remember her. They're trying to see if they can get her some medication to help her with that, with the pain. So if you would, please remember her. And of course, we got a prayer request that's long. We just need to pray one for another. But I do thank you for joining us for Sunday school this morning. Those by the way of internet, we welcome you also to meet with us as we look at the word faith this morning. If you will, bow with us in just a short word of prayer, and then we will begin to look at faith again. Lord, again today, we come to you again, Lord, with thankful hearts. Lord, so thankful today that you're present in our lives. Lord, that we are your children. We're under your watch care. And Lord, you do love us beyond what we can imagine. And Lord, you also have in store for us more than we can imagine. Lord, as we gather today, we'd ask that you would, Lord, touch us in a special way. May the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct. May I be out of the picture and your precious word be expounded by the Spirit as we study together today. I thank you, Lord, for this group of individuals that are known as Benson Grove Baptist Church. I ask your blessings upon our pastor and our leadership and each member. And Lord, I'd ask that we would stay focused on your precious word and grounded therein and not be led astray by the things of the world. Lord, help us to stand firm on the foundation. Lord, again, I ask you to walk us through these precious, precious verses today and help us to understand more when we leave than we did when we came. But we know that it'll only be by your leadership, by the precious Holy Spirit, that it reveals it to us, if that might be the case. So bless our assembly together today and bless all those other classes and those other teachers. And may you be exalted, may we be humbled, and may we examine ourselves and see just how thankful we should be and how thankful we are and how much more thankful we should be. Bless now as only you can. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Hebrews in the 11th chapter, the first verse, and it talks about faith. And we talked about, in some degree, let me read this verse to you again this morning, and then we'll immediately go over to the book of Acts and look at a couple of things, and I'll remind you a little bit, kind of update you to bring you where we are in our lesson today. Now, faith is the substance of things. It's a substance. It's made up of different things. It's a substance of things. So keep that word things in mind. Things hoped for. And it says it's the evidence of things not seen. So there's an evidence in the faith that we're looking at also. So go with me again to Acts. And I want to remind you that as we begun last Sunday, And we talked about no man is drawn to the Father. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And we're talking about the drawing that comes by the Holy Spirit. And and then we talked about it comes to the point that as the Holy Spirit reveals who Christ is, reveals us our situation. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the problem in the world today is that individuals can't come to grips with the fact that they're sinners and they need a Savior and they need forgiveness. And that wages of sin is death and separation from God eternally in hell. And they need to come to grips with that. And we seem to be living in a society that think they're eternal and nothing's going to happen to them. And then if it does, then it's just okay. There's no hell, and I don't have to worry about that. And if it is, I'll just go to hell and party. I'll tell you one thing. That's going to be the hottest party you've ever been to in your life if you end up there. But as we looked at that, and the first step in your faith is come to know Christ as your personal Savior. And you might think back, if you're saved, and say, well, where was that in my life? And what occasion brought you, drew you to where you come to the point that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I thought about... You know, you might have picked up a track somewhere. You might have been riding along and flipped the channel on the radio and we're going to move it over another time or two, but it stopped at a certain place. And there might have been some preaching on and you just wasn't even been listening to that, but all of a sudden you hung to it for a moment. So the Lord stopped it so He could begin to plant a seed and the Spirit could draw. Many, many differences. Sitting in a worship service, come to church many times, or maybe you come to church the first time, but the pastor preaches a message and the Holy Spirit begins to draw. Many, many different ways and occasions that people come to know Christ. But I thought about last Sunday, and then I was studying this week, and I read another passage, and I want to look at, show you something about a little contrast this morning. You think back to when you were saved and what happened and what corresponded. I want you to look with me, if you will, over the book of Acts for just a moment. Excuse me, Acts in the 8th chapter now, we talked about the eunuch. And remember, he was sitting in the comfort of his chariot. But he was reading Scripture. And the important thing when we look at this is the time situation. Now, here he is reading Scripture. And we remember we talked about it last Sunday. Didn't know what he was reading. Didn't understand what he's reading. But as he was reading, see, God's already at work. Because Philip, it says, is led by the Spirit. And he goes immediately and talks with him. And they commune. And they talk about the Scriptures. And we talked about that last Sunday. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse number 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." When did that happen to you? Where were you at when that happened? Now, he's in the comfort of the chariot. He's just sitting there reading. If you go back and look who that eunuch was, he had a good position, so I'm sure he was in a fancy chariot. But now let's flip the page for just a moment. And let's look at something else in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. My daddy always said, there is no question. When the Lord saves you, you know it. The Lord really rattled his cage, so to speak. Got his attention. He says, there's no way in the world somebody can be saved and not have the assurance and know that they were saved. So if you look at Acts and you look at the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, and we want to go to the 25th verse and read a story that all of you know of. He said in the 21st verse, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, where's Paul and Silas at this point? Paul and Silas in prison. How many of us would be doing what they're doing if we was in prison? And if we were there without a cause, especially. We'd be mumbling and grumbling. What are they doing? They're just singing and praising the Lord. Now, you talking about faith. That is an example of some faith. He said, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners, and all the doors shook up, and everybody was footloose and fancy free, so to speak. They could have walked out and left. But see, God's in charge of this. And God has a particular person in mind. One day he had a particular person in mind, and that person was you, and that person was me. On whenever that occasion was that the Holy Spirit did work and drew us to him. And it said, the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. Now, he was just hanging out sleeping. Paul and Silas, and they're praying and rejoicing. He's sleeping. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now, here's a dramatic situation. It's not sitting in the chariot in the comfort. He's fearful now because if any of those prisoners escape, that meant he lost his life. That's the reason he's going to kill himself. That's the reason Paul says, hold, stop, wait a minute. We're all here. Now, if you were to go to Smithfield over to the jail and go in there and open all the cell doors, how many of those prisoners that's in jail you think would be there in about 30 minutes? I don't imagine you'd find many of them still sitting around in there, do you? See, this is the power of the Lord. And he can get his work accomplished just like he so wills for it to be accomplished. And here's the situation. That he's going to get one person's attention in this process. And it's going to be the keeper of the prison. One day, the Holy Spirit, under a situation, dwell with me in a certain way. And one day he dwelt with you if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. I know where I was at, and I know what I was doing. I remember it. It was plain as if it had been this morning. Exactly what I was doing when he drew me to him. What were you doing when he drew you to him? And here it says, hold it, stop, wait a minute. Verse number 30. And both of them went out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be what? Saved." And here's the gospel in a nutshell. And they said, both of them gave testimony, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But they didn't stop there, did they? What else did they say? "And anybody else in your house that will believe can also be saved." So here's an extraordinary situation that a person was put in to come to know Christ. And then we see one in the comfort of the chariot that comes to know Christ. Christ can deal with a person anywhere, any way he so wills when he draws him by the precious Holy Spirit for them to come to know. Aren't you glad that he draws? Opens our minds, eyes, and our heart to help us to know and understand that without his saving grace, we're eternally lost. So here we see those examples of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I ask, where were you? Now, what do we see? We're talking about faith. And it says faith is the substance of things. So what are we talking about this morning when we talk about that faith? Now, at the moment that you accepted Christ, you believed the report of God's Word and the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your heart of who Christ is and who God is, and you trusted in Him, and now your faith is planted. Your faith is planted. Now, I want you to think about this. It says it's a substance of things. So faith has many events involved in it. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your faith now the same that it was when you were saved? Or is your faith stronger than it was when you were saved? Have you grown in faith? And if you've grown in faith, then what are those things in your life that have called you to grow in faith? Now, it says faith cometh by hearing. And then hearing by what? The Word. So, when we come to know Christ and we're saved by His marvelous grace, and faith is now anchored as a part of the saving grace of God in our lives, then by God's Word, for one thing, we study and we grow. And we grow in faith in Him. Because as we read and study God's Word, then we understand that there's many promises in God's Word. And also at the same time, we begin to build a trust more strongly in Christ and in God. But what we've got to understand, what we've got to know, is number one, we were sinners lost and doomed and undone, and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Savior of mankind. There is a God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. He is an eternal God, the only God, the one God. We also understand that Christ was risen. We're fixing to celebrate Easter in 2 weeks. And He's a risen Savior. So we have to understand that and those things. So let's look a little bit now. look in Matthew chapter number 28. We're fixing to go to Easter, so I don't know what I'm going to do for Easter this year. I'm contemplating that. 28, chapter number 28, and verse number 5 and 6. The resurrection of Christ, we know early in the morning when they came, Mary of Magdalene's come to the tomb. And they're looking at Christ. And it says, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know. If you think you're ahead of God, you ain't never ahead of Him. I know what you're here for, and I know what you're looking for. And He says, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. Why is He not here? Why did Mary come forward? What were they expecting? What did they think had happened to Christ? They thought that they had stolen His body and taken it away, and they didn't know where they had taken it. So she was not expecting it to be resurrected. She was expecting it to be stolen. And here it says, I know what you've come for. He's not here, for He is risen. And what's the next phrase? As He said. He's risen as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Just step right on up and take a look. This is where He was, but He's not there now. And the reason He's not there now, it's not because they've stolen His body. It's because He's a resurrected Lord. And He's a resurrected Savior. And He's a resurrected Christ. And He's resurrected just like He said. He's risen. So that's another thing that you and I come to know when faith's anchored in our lives when we're saved and we're a new convert. But now I want you to notice, He is not here. He's risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And He says, go quickly and do what? Go quickly, and let's just say, go quickly and do what? And tell. What's our responsibility to the world as a child of the Lord? Go tell the world that He's risen. Go tell the world about Jesus. Go tell the world what He's done for you and what He's done for me. One of the passages that Brother Billy likes real good over in Romans, the 10th chapter. Look with me in Romans 10. Tenth chapter and verse number 9. But if thou shalt confess, many times when we've heard this, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath done what? Hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe, anchored in faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be what? Sometimes we have a problem with that. Sometimes we stay closed mouthed when we ought to be hollering. Tell the world about Jesus. And we better be, because time's running out. And it's running out in a hurry. So we believe that there is a God, and we believe there is a son called Jesus Christ, whom was crucified for our sin, to pay the price for our sin, and we believe that he is risen. We also believe he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and we also believe that he's making intercessions for you and I every single solitary day that we live. But let's go a little bit farther into this study on faith. Now, Webster's definition of faith is a believing without proof, a trust, a believing in God and his promises. A believing in God and his promises. Notice trust is also mentioned in that. Now, I want you to go back with me to Hebrews again, and let's look at this. Let's look at this 11th verse, this 11th chapter, this second verse again, and go a little bit farther into this chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to look at verse number 2. For by it, by what? By faith. We're talking about faith. He says, for by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a what? A good report. Now, these elders that we're talking about, by faith, have obtained a good report. Now, when we go a little bit farther into this chapter, we're going to see some of those elders mentioned. And we're going to look at a few things in these verses as we do. He says, through faith, we understand. So what does faith bring? Faith brings understanding. Helps us to understand God. Helps us to understand the things of God. Because we are now encompassed in the Word of God. And we read the Word of God. And we believe the Word of God. And we trust the Word of God. And it is our roadmap for our Christian walk. So we begin to grow in it. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. What did Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, who? God. And he did what? He created the heavens and the earth. So we understand that, and we understand that by faith. And that's one of our basic strong points of faith. We understand there is one God, and he's the creator of the whole universe and everything. And he's totally in control of everything that goes on. Might not look like he is, but he's the master power. Now, he says, so the things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. He spoke it. Look at the Creator. All we got to do is look at Genesis. He said, let there be, and it was. He spoke it into existence. Then it talks about some of these elders of faith. Let me read just a couple, but I want us to look at one particular one this morning as we go on. He says, by faith Abel offered unto God, and notice who he offered it to. Who are we worshiping? We're worshiping the God of creation. Who did he offer the sacrifice to? He offered the sacrifice of God, the God of creation. He recognized him as Lord God Almighty. And he says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know, Enoch just went out one day and he just walked right on up to heaven. Boy, that'd be a pretty good deal, wouldn't you? Like to walk out of church this morning and just walk right on up to heaven, brother, walking to the car. That'd be nice. He said it was translated. For before his translation, now I want you to notice, before his translation, before he was called into the presence of God, what happened? He said before his translation, he had his testimony. So what is being looked at? His testimony. And his testimony was that he did what? He pleased God. Now, I want you to look at that statement in that last phrase in that verse. His testimony was that he pleased God. Now, I want you to look at the next verse with reflection on what we've just read in this verse. Verse number six starts with what word? Okay. So pay attention. Because he's fixing to tell you how to do something. Or how not to do something. Or what to do or what not to do. Now he says here that before he was translated, by his testimony, he pleased God. Verse number six says, but without what? Faith. So what did Enoch have to have? Only way he could please God is have faith. Only way you and I can please God is have faith and trust in him. You can't please him in yourself. I can't please him in myself. I've got to be led by the precious Holy Spirit of God, and that's the only way that I can have faith and trust in Christ and live a life that will please him in anything I do. He says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible. You cannot please him without faith. You cannot please him without the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, because the old natural man is not going to do those things that's pleasing to God. It's going to only be those things in your life and my life that's led by the Holy Spirit and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ and our God that causes us to do anything that pleases God. And it's impossible by the natural man to please him. So he says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. It says him, but we know it's talking about God. For he that cometh to God, next word, M-U-S-T. If you come to God, you must do what? You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he's also a rewarder of those who believe and those who diligently receive him and those that live by faith. So he rewards us as we travel life's journey. And in the process of those things that he does for us daily in our lives, we come to know more about who he is and just how much he does control our lives. And the more we yield to him, the more he controls. You and I are not puppets on a string. He could have made it that way. He could have created us that way. And we dilly-dally as he moves us. But no, he made us a free moral agent. He saved us by his marvelous grace, but he didn't remove the old natural man in us. And there's a dogfight going on all the time. And I'm telling you, I hope my faith is a bulldog and the old natural man is a chihuahua. Because I think I know who'd win out. But he says, without that faith, it's impossible to believe God or please God. Now, I said something come to my mind. There ain't much to say when you talk about my mind, but I was trying to figure out where I wanted to inject this. I guess now maybe it's a good time. All right, you're sitting at home, and I come by and knock on the door, and you invite me to come in. And I got a pot in my hand. Just a plain old pot with dirt in it. But what you don't see and what you don't know is that in that pot, there's a special grain of corn. Okay? Now, that grain of corn is in dirt. Well, guess what? You and I ain't nothing but dirt either. It says, dust we are and dust thou shalt return. So when you were saved, in you, that pot of dirt, God planted the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. Now, you can't see that corn, that grain of corn in that pot when I hand it to you. But the moisture that's in the dirt, that's in that pot, what's it going to cause that grain of corn to do? It's going to cause that grain of corn to germinate, and it's going to change its shape. Well, when faith was anchored in you, guess what? They started a new process in you. And there's something germinating in you like it never germinated in you before. And something was germinating in me that never germinated in me before. And in just a little bit, you're going to look at that pot and you're going to see something sprouting up, aren't you? Okay? Because it's being fed from that that's internal, that that's around it. And same way with you and I, with our faith and the precious Holy Spirit, we grow in what? We grow in faith. We begin to... All of a sudden, somebody... Brother Donnie, you're the same man you were before you were saved. Are you the same person you were before you were saved? If you're the same person you were before you were saved, you ain't never been saved. You say, well, you're judging. No, I'm just telling you what God's Word says. There's a thing called fruit. And if you've got Christ in you, the Holy Spirit's indwelling in you, and faith and trust in your Lord Jesus Christ is in you, there's going to be a, you can see a difference in your life. You can see a sprout coming. And that sprout's going to grow into what? It's going to grow into a hill of corn. And then when it grows into a hill of corn and it begins to grow more and more, what's it going to do? It's going to produce what? After a while, you're going to see a shoot come out. And then another shoot come out, hopefully. Hopefully, you're going to get two ears of corn. After a while, you're going to see a full-grown ear of corn. That's the fruit of that hill of corn. What happened to that hill of corn before the fruit's harvested? Before the corn picker goes into a corn field to pick the corn, what's happened to the hill of corn? It's passed. It's withered up. It's brown. The ear of corn is turned down. We're here just for a little while, folks. It's appointed a man wants to die. And when we're anchored in faith, the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and mind, we grow and we produce fruit for the Master. For the Master. That hill of corn don't harvest its own fruit. Somebody else harvested. Who's going to give you reward for your service? He's the Master Harvester. And he's the one that gives the crowns. We have a short time to serve him. We need to serve him in faith, and our faith needs to grow. And we need to be more tuned to his will and his way in our lives. Carry the gospel, spread the word, produce the fruit for the Master. God bless you, and thank you for listening today.